blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I do want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're very thankful that you're here with us on this morning. We have been discussing the idea of simple and sound, and when we consider our Ladies' Day and Gospel Meeting that we're about to have beginning on Saturday and then Sunday through Wednesday, we have been preparing our minds to think along those lines, to be able to help us as we get ready for good brethren that are going to come and preach what thus saith the Lord to us. To help us to ponder and to think clearer, better, to be more straight in our awareness of the Word of God. And this morning will be no different because we're going to be considering 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the first four verses. And we're going to be focusing in on verse number 3, and the idea of simplicity. Here, the Apostle Paul would say, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." But notice what Paul says here. "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived," one translation says, "beguiled Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." As I was considering the lesson for this morning and the idea of simplicity, sometimes when we are taking words at face value, we can actually lose what's actually being said and taught. The word simplicity literally means to be single-minded or to be straightforward in our thinking. And so 29 chapters from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is trying to get the brethren by inspiration to be one, to be single in their mind, to have the mentality that God is the one that you ought to be thinking like. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, they struggled with division, actually putting preachers above each other, comparing one with another. Chapter 2, he dealing with inspiration and revelation. Chapter 3, he talks about how they are workers with God, and that the one that plants is nothing, and the one that waters is nothing. Chapter 4, he actually deals with how they ought to be thinking, and not to think above that which is written. Chapter 5, they have problems in the church with a man having his father's wife. You see how far off they got in their thinking? That Satan had beguiled them, deceived them from the simplicity, the straightforwardness, the single-mindedness that was in Christ Jesus. And when that takes place, what happens is that you get so far away from the standard, the Word of God, that you begin to walk according to your own understanding, Proverbs 3, verse 5. And so in chapter 6, they're taking one another to court. Chapter 7, they are having marital issues. Chapter 8, they have matters of opinion that they are esteeming others better than their fellow brethren. Chapter 9, they didn't want to pay the Apostle Paul in order to minister unto them, to the point that Paul said that I robbed Macedonia just to serve you. Chapter 10, he used Old Testament examples that God, he will destroy those who are not doing what he says. And so he leaves that example. Chapter 11, they're fouling up the Lord's Supper and they're mixing it in with their actual meals. Chapters 12 through chapter 14, he's dealing with how they ought to be one in Christ Jesus, and the body is supposed to be working together, and how they ought to esteem love, which is better than everything else. In chapter 14, they were just messing up New Testament worship. You had women, they were speaking out, and you had the men, they were not being good leaders in the church. Chapter 15, Brother Ryan brings up the gospel and he reminds them of that. And chapter 16, he teaches them how they ought to be giving. So you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and he starts the process over again. Apparently, the one that had sinned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they didn't want to forgive him. And so on and on and on, he is trying to get them, if I can say it this way, to think clearly. To think straight, to think single-mindedly. Jesus, he would use this idea in Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. If thy eye is good, literally, if your eye is single, if you are focused, if you have a straightforward thinking mentality, then you're thinking like God. Sometimes what we do is we tell people, well, you're thinking emotionally and not logically. There's nothing wrong with thinking emotionally. There's something wrong with thinking illogically. The opposite of being logical is illogical. Jesus was an emotional man, yet he was logical at the same time. How do we know that? He cried at the grave of Lazarus. He had emotion. But one thing that Jesus was never was what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was never illogical. He was always logical. And so when we consider the simplicity that's in Christ, we're talking about the logical thinking, the straightforward thinking, this single-mindedness that every last one of us have to contend with. Why? Because we're in this flesh. Why? Because we have people around us that we love. Why? Because sometimes our thinking is not fully educated. And so we have to deal with those things. So when we think about point number one, the straightforwardness of God's word. You're visiting with us. You see the QR code. You'll see the notes that we are probably going to go by. And the reason why I say probably, because my mind has changed a lot even this morning concerning this lesson. However, when we think about the straightforwardness of God's word is straightforward. It requires some thinking. It requires us humbling ourselves under its will, under the word's will. And the reason why we say it that way is because we understand that the Holy Spirit, he was the one that was going to be convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. John 16:7 through verse number 9. Now that's important because when you think about the Spirit's sword, you think about the Word of God, and why Paul is contending with the Christians here at Corinth is because they were going off their own thinking instead of the Word of God. Anytime that my thinking elevates the Word of God, I've already went out of bounds. For this reason, I have to stay with the Word of God. No wonder when we think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is why, friends, we have to read the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God. We have to meditate on the Word of God. But you have to do more than that. You need to go out and talk about the Word of God. It's not enough to just study it and read it.
It's not enough for you to just obey it. You need to go and talk about it so your mind and your actions can be one. Straightforward thinking. And you can tell when someone is not thinking straight because the audio and the video doesn't match. And so it's important for us to understand what I'm reading. And on many occasions, Jesus would say, go learn what that means. Have you not read? It's important for us to keep that in mind. I know that to be the fact because sometimes people call themselves children of God and they're not living according to the Word of God. Which tells me that their thinking is not straight. They are not staying in line with the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus, the straightforward thinking. And for this reason, this is why we have men like Corey Hall, men like John Paul Salazar, men like Adam Orr, sisters like Carmen Hall, who are going to come and talk to us next week, starting Saturday and ending next Wednesday. And they have specific lessons that are designed to help us to think straight, to think carefully, to think strategically. Because I'll be honest, sometimes even my thinking is not straight sometimes. And I need good brethren. I need a wife. I need people that's going to help me think straighter than how I'm thinking. Amen. I find it interesting. But Solomon said on one occasion that every man think he's right in his own eyes. Brother Dietrich and I was just talking just the other day, and he said a few things, and he probably don't remember, but I said, man, appreciate you. Oh, love you, boy. Love you, man. Yeah. Why? Because we are helping one another to think straighter than what we're thinking. But if I think I'm right all the time, friends, I'm going to get in trouble. And so that's going to take me away from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. And so I end up taking my brother to court, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I end up taking my father's wife, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I end up elevating my opinion above the opinion of my brother, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I end up not respecting the Lord's Supper. You see how I just kept it in the Word of God? Because the thinking is not straight. And so we need help to be single in our mind. For this reason, the Holy Spirit was sent with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to help us think. And for this reason, we have the Word of God. And so the Word of God, when it is properly read, properly understood, properly obeyed, it will cause us to think like our God. And so, straightforwardness of the Word of God. One thing I love about God's word, it will not return to him void. And if you notice in your notes where I put Psalm 138 and verse number 2, God's word is so important, brethren. Please hear this. You don't hear no other thing that I hear that I'm saying. Hear this. God's word is so important that he elevated it above his own name. Which means that I better not tamper with it. You might be new to 9th and Main. And you're probably used to preachers telling stories all the time. I'm not a good storyteller. Probably used to preachers not using the Word of God. I'm not good at that either. If you're new here, we're glad to have you. And we're going to be dealing with some fundamentals. And we're probably staying in the fundamentals for a while. Because it's important. Because so many preachers have gotten away from the simplicity, the straightforwardness. Not simple, Brother Ryan dealt with that on last week. Simple, but not simple. Not talking about simple. And this is easy to understand. There's some things in God's word that are just not simple. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, will talk about the writings of Paul. And how they're difficult to understand. There's some things that are just difficult. There's some things I have to ponder and meditate on and ask questions about and chew the cud on, if you will. Some things. But one thing that you will not get here from every man that's going to mount this pulpit and the podium in the back room and in public. We're not whitewashing, not fluffing. It's just straight book, chapter, and verse. Amen? That's all we have. And anything other than that is displeasing to God our Father first. Forget about what we think. What does God think about it? For this reason, we preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Paul would say, for the time will come when they will not endure. Here it is, sound doctrine. Simple and sound, meaning healthy. That which is necessary and needed to help you develop, mature, and nourish you. That's so important. And for this reason, again, it's not about what we think. It's not about what we feel. It's not even about what we believe. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God, it is true. And the Word of God is so straightforward that Jesus said it's going to meet us on that day of judgment. Jesus would say in John 12, verse 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus said, I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. Friends, the word of God, and for this reason, is pure. For this reason, it sanctifies us. It sets us apart. And so, to be single-minded, friends, we have to maintain the purity of the Word of God. To be single in mind, we have to be sanctified by the Word of God. Notice Jesus' words in his prayer to his Father in John 17. In John 17, I hurriedly get to verse number 17. However, when you consider verse number 16, notice what Jesus here says that's very important. He says, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. And notice what Jesus says. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, notice what Jesus said. I sanctify, I set myself apart, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus set himself apart in order for us to be in the position to be set apart. Jesus was straightforward in his thinking. He was single-minded in his thinking. He came to do the will of his Father. He didn't do the will of the devil. He didn't do the will of his disciples. He didn't do the will of anything or anyone else. He came to do the will of his Father. And I tell myself all the time, I know I'm talking about myself and I'm sorry, but I tell myself all the time, Mike, if you do your own will, you do the will of another man, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Amen. Young people, let me talk to you. You need to learn how to be straightforward in your thinking right now, which means you got to spend time in God's word. You need to spend time with people that respect the word of God. You need to have a respect for God's word, that it is the lamp unto my feet. It's the light unto my pathway. It is all that I have that's going to lead me to life and godliness, which means that when you're straightforward in your thinking, young people, you got to keep yourself pure till marriage. Don't be playing around. Don't be talking about sexual things online through text. Don't do that. Be pure. Why? Because if I'm going to love God, if you're going to love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, it's going to require the pure word of God and you sanctifying, setting yourself apart from the world in order to, for you to be dedicated to the will of God. Young people think. Old people think. We need to be set apart. It's time for the people of God, as Paul would tell the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1, to come out from among them and be separate. It's time for the church of Christ to be a separate people, separate from sin, separate from evil, separate from malice, separate from all of those things that God hates. And friends, that's all of us. I'm begging, I'm pleading, not just with you, but even myself. I beg you, that if we're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful with a few things, I make you ruler over many. Friends, we got to separate ourselves and be single, straightforward in our thinking, which only comes from the pure, unadulterated word of God. That's all we have. You cannot come out of sin without the word of God. You cannot come out of sin if you're a member of a denomination without the word of God and the blood of Christ. We've got to have the gospel. And for this reason, we preach the gospel. If the world is going to get better, we got to get back to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that saves. Romans 1 and verse number 16. It's the gospel that saves. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. And then what did God do in that gospel? To keep it simple, to keep it straightforward. In verse 17, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God's righteousness is in the gospel. For this reason, Brother Brian, we preach the gospel. And we preach nothing but the gospel. And we preach the whole counsel of Almighty God. And for this, we got to be thinking this way. But if I'm thinking my own way, I'm going to find myself in trouble. In James chapter 3, in verse number 13 through James 3, verse number 18, how can we find a man that's righteous? A man that is full of wisdom? A man that conducts himself properly? He got to go to the word of God. That wisdom that comes down from above, which means that I can't go off what I think. Friends, sometimes our thinking is not right, and that's okay. What's not okay is when it stays wrong. Brethren, are you hearing me? To keep it simple, simplistic, straightforward, single in mind, it has to be sound. It has to be healthy. It has to be unadulterated. It has to be pure. It has to be the word of God. And the reason why is because it comes from God himself. Point two. What single-mindedness looked like on a daily basis? If you look at your notes, it truly seeks to obey, thus performing soundness in life. How do I know that I'm sound? How do I know that my life is straightforward? Friends, I look into the mirror of God's word, James 1, verses 19 through 22. I look into the word of God. How do I know that this is the right person for me? How do I know if this is the right congregation? How do I know if this is the right job? I go to the word of God and I allow the word of God to direct me. The word of God, friends. But if I believe that my thinking trumps the word of God because I'm a good thinker, friends, I'm going to miss it. And the lessons that we're going to be hearing, they're going to help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. How do I love my neighbor? How do I keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace? How do I seek first the kingdom? How do I know what the oneness of the church looks like? How do I know how to worship God in spirit and in truth? Or is it just left up to me? How do I know if I'm sanctified in the truth? The word of God. It's the word of God. Well, Brother Mike, you know, I just don't let people, they don't think for me. Well, that's good. But there's a God in heaven that taught us how to think through the word of God. If you're not in the word of God, you're left to your own understanding. And so how do I do this on a daily basis? Well, if you notice, it appreciates no condemnation in Christ. You're probably asking, Brother Mike, why did you put that one? I was thinking about this, and I thought about Romans 8, and I was thinking about how Romans unfolds. And you go to chapter 6, and he's talking about being baptized into the death of Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. And then he talks about that life outside of Christ, that life under the law, and how the law couldn't do anything for me. And then he just burst out in chapter 7, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" I thank God through Christ Jesus. Jesus was the only one that was going to deliver the Apostle Paul, Brian. And so you get to chapter 8, verse number 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation." I talk to people all the time, and they just can't seem to get past condemning themselves after they did what God said to not be condemned. You can't live like that. That's not straightforward thinking. If God says, "I forgive you," 1 John 1 and verse number 9. If God says, "I forgive you," who am I not to forgive myself? That's a lack of faith. And so faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God says, "I forgive you." Did you repent? Did you confess? Did you lay it out there? Did you turn away from sin? If you did that, I forgive you. Who am I to hold something against myself when God says, "I forgive you"? Therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Here it is, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Meaning that I leave sin alone. If I'm not leaving sin alone, then I'm not forgiven. I can't be forgiven if I don't leave sin alone. Why? Because God and sin don't mix. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. And so every day I need to be examining my life. Every day I need to be looking, am I saved? Am I walking according to the Spirit's teaching? Am I making sure that I'm genuinely keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Am I maintaining my confidence that's in Christ Jesus? Am I maintaining that? And sometimes, brethren, to be totally honest with you, it gets difficult at times. Because as the Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "I'm perplexed on every single side. I can't catch a break," he says. Every single side. I got false brethren after me, dangers of brethren, dangers of this. I'm going through this. I'm dealing with this. It seemed like it's coming from every single side. Yet the Apostle Paul said, we're not perplexed. We've got to be like the Hebrews writer. Hebrews 12. How we ought to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Young people, I need to encourage you here, because there's a lot of depression going on. There's a lot of suicide going on. A bunch of people quitting. They're giving up on God. You need to establish yourself now in the present faith. You need to be reading the Word of God now, and you need to believe what you read. Why didn't the children of Israel enter into the promised land? Because of unbelief. They were not straight in their thinking. They didn't have, if I can use it this way, the simplicity that was in Christ. The single-mindedness. Which means that as a horse has blinders, so they're not looking to the right or to the left. They're just looking forward. If I can just look forward, if I can be like Peter and put my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on the water. But soon as the winds and the waves become tempestuous and it causes me to focus on the winds and the waves and the water, friends, I'm going to lose it. Therefore, that's a perfect example for us, friends. And it teaches us that I need to keep my eyes on Jesus, regardless of the winds and the waves, regardless of what's coming my way. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus, and when I do that, I'll be all right. And as soon as I take my eyes off him, I'm going to find myself sinking. No wonder Paul had to address the Corinthians as it relates to even defending his own apostleship. Hold on, aren't you my seal? Did I not teach you the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Aren't you my work in Christ? And they're questioning whether or not he's an apostle. I taught you the gospel in Acts chapter 18. I taught you the gospel. Why is that so important? It's important, friends, because sometimes we question the authenticity of the word of God, sometimes even ourselves. Friends, this came forth from the very mind of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 4 and 5, 3 through 5, he is God. Amen. You can trust this. You can trust the word of God. And so, how do I put this into practice? How do I keep straight in my focus? I await Jesus' return. I see why some Christians just they leave the faith. Well, I left there because my family is not coming with me. I left there because I just didn't feel that church. I left there because someone said something to me. I left there because... Could it be that you left because you left your eyes? You stopped putting your eyes on Jesus? Friends, all we have is Jesus. That's all we have. And everything connected to him, that's all we have. When it's all said and done, all you have is God the Father, Jesus his Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Church of Christ. That's all you got. Because people die and people leave. And you have to make up your mind, where am I going to be? How straight is my thinking going to be? Or am I going to allow my thinking to be off? If I ever believe that Jesus Christ had already came, there's a false doctrine called the AD 70 doctrine, that Jesus Christ came in AD 70. And I asked a brother one time after I got through preaching, he said, you know, Jesus came back in AD 70. I said, did you take the Lord's Supper today? He said, I did. I said, don't we supposed to remember the Lord's death till he come? Has he come? Well, hush your mouth, keep studying, and shut your mouth during the process. Because the reason why we took the Lord's Supper is to remember him, and how long shall we take the Lord's Supper? Till he comes. Watch the false doctrines. Watch your life. Follow Jesus closely. Stay working. As we close, you got to stay working. A straightforward, a single-minded Christian, they're working out their salvation, Philippians 2:12, with fear and trembling. And the work that God has begun in them, he will perform it to the day of Christ, Philippians 1 and verse number 6. Friends, you got to be working. You can't sit on the pew. You got to get into the public. And so God didn't save us to sit us. God saved us to go out there and get to work. We got to be working. We got to be telling people about Jesus Christ and him crucified, about the singleness of the church, about morality and uprightness and holiness and righteousness. We need to be telling them about the word of God and how we shouldn't be questioning who God is. Friends, he has outlined it in his word. We need to just go to the word of God. We need to believe it and we need to obey it. Finally, singleness of heart is because of sound doctrine. We're going to touch more on this on the last Sunday. But if you will, turn your Bibles to Titus 2. We quoted 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 earlier. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Paul is talking to his other son in the faith. Sends him off to Crete, gave him responsibilities of setting the church in order and appointing elders. But as it relates to the inner workings of the church and how the family is supposed to be working together inside of the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, he says something in verse number 1 of chapter 2. But as for you, speak, Paul tells Titus, speak the things which are proper, New King James, befits King James for sound doctrine. And he goes into this litany of ideas on how this soundness is performed. I beg you, if you're an older woman, seasoned, sound in the faith, we need you. We need you talking to the younger women on how they dress, on how they act around other men and boys. We need you older men to talk to the younger men on how they dress. Oh, no, we're not imbalanced here. It's not just nakedness and modesty from a female perspective, but also a male's perspective. There's a way that we ought to dress and how we ought to talk and the way we ought to be. We need older men that have enough gumption and enough courage and enough tact to know how to get the message across. The evidence of a sound church is soundness is taken in, it is molded upon, it's meditated upon, then it's performed in its life, but then it uses it as opportunities to teach others. I need someone that's going to say, Mike, no, or Mike, keep it up. You do too. The simplicity, the straightforwardness, the single-mindedness. Friends, this doesn't happen by osmosis. This doesn't happen by happenstance. This doesn't happen by accident. It is strategic. It is intentional. It is needed for us to actually help one another to be sound in the faith, to be healthy. And so many people are so concerned about their physical health that the man on the inside is screaming for someone to feed it the word of God. Spiritual anorexia. And so, my third closing. Y'all smile. Paul again, telling Titus, I need this done. I need you to preach the word. I need you to be logical and spiritual. I need you to love God with everything that you have, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, to love your neighbor, notice, as yourself. And Brother Corey is going to bring that out. He gave me a little bit of a prelude, so I ain't going to take his thunder from it, but you got to know how to love you before you can love someone else. We struggle with that. And so when I don't fully love me, how do I know how to love someone else? But it starts with God. And then it helps me. And then it helps others. Friends, it requires all of us doing our part. But we have to be straightforward in our thinking. We have to be humble. We have to tell ourselves, I don't know it all, but I know someone that does. And we have to tell ourselves, when I do know it, I need to be like James, and I need to do it. James would say, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Young people, brethren, we need the word of God and we need it to be sound. And there's no time for it to not be sound, because any time the word of God goes forth and if it's not sound, it's going to bring forth fruit that's not sound as well. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, you're so merciful unto us. You demonstrated that mercy through the sending of your Son. Pray to Father that you forgive us for our shortcomings and sins that we have committed against you publicly and privately. That you may hear our prayer, that you may continue to bless the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We are so elated and thankful for those who have joined our number. And we pray, dear Father, that as shepherds, we'll do our part getting to know them, and that they'll do their part helping the congregation. Pray for those who have always been here. We're thankful for the stability and the strength, the trials, the troubles. We're even thankful, as you have taught us in your word, to give thanks in everything. We're thankful for the hardships that come our way when we get beside ourselves, when we don't know how to think, when our judgment is cloudy. We're thankful that your word helps us through the subtleties of Satan. And Father, help us to not be a people that lean to our own understanding in parenting and marriage and the church leadership. Even as community members, help us to always stay with your word, and when we're off, that we find ourselves apologizing, changing the way that we think, and not growing cold in our mindset. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these opportunities to worship you in spirit and in truth through your darling Son, Jesus Christ, that makes it possible. We know, Father, that there are some that have not paid attention because they had their mind on other things. We beg your mercy. We beg your mercy, Father, that when we come together on the first day of the week, that we're here to worship you and to edify one another. Help us to take that seriously. Help us to be a people, Father, that love you with everything that we have. And we pray that the people that we have come in contact with, inviting to our Ladies' Day and to the gospel meeting, we know that you're pleased with our efforts. But we beg you to allow us to have someone come. And Father, give us an opportunity to talk to them. We pray that we will do right by that opportunity. We love you, Father. We know we fail you. We know we're not worthy sometimes of coming before you. But we ask that you be patient with us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. I want you to consider obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and be added to the Lord's church, the one that he suffered, bled, and died for, the one that he's going to come back for. Maybe you haven't heard that before. Maybe you want to sit down and study with us. We'll study with you. We love you. We just want you to have an opportunity to stand before Jesus Christ and hear, "Well done." Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been thinking straight. Maybe you haven't been thinking spiritually and soundly. That happens to all of us, from the pulpit to the back pew. It happens. But just don't remain in that state. Do yourself a favor. Turn away from sin. Confess your fault. God is faithful and just to forgive, and he'll save you on that day he sends his Son. As we stand, as we sing our Savior's invitation.